You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies take on the Clippers tonight. First game after back after the All-Star break. The Grizzlies play at home tonight, so we will get our first look at Chandler Parsons back with the Grizzlies. Chandler did talk to the media yesterday after practice. I was there. I did release a player sound podcast. These are some, it's an idea I kind of had, just kind of releasing raw audio to everybody just after I talk with people in the locker room and stuff like that. So, if that's something that you might want to see or do more of, just let me know. Just something I kind of thought of after practice today. Just maybe some just shows that are just sound from whether it's locker rooms or practices or what have you. Just so you guys, if you want it, you can consume it. If you want to hear the raw conversations from the players, you can have that. If not, you don't have to. But it's just hard. It's really hard to get. It's really hard to get all the sound in some of these episodes and keep the episode short. You know, 20-25 minutes is what we try to keep these episodes kind of 20-25 minutes. So it's always sometimes difficult because the conversations can be 5 and 6 minutes a piece. And so once I put all the sound into an episode and then kind of talk about it too, they can get pretty long. And so I'm trying to keep those episodes pretty short. So if that's some kind of an idea, something you guys like, let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter at @King_producer, as well as the show on Twitter at @LockedOnGrizz. That's where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you're not already subscribed in iTunes, please go ahead and do that. And if you have a minute, please rate and review the show in iTunes as well. It really helps us in our iTunes ranking, so we would really appreciate that. Today on the show, we have Matt Hrdlicka joining us again. It was on the show not too long ago before the trade deadline, so I'm gonna have him on again, get his thoughts about just the players that they got back and how he sees the future shaking out for the Grizzlies. He has a Patreon page. It's on the pinned tweet of his Twitter. You can go and follow that, follow him there. Make sure you go in to his Patreon page, and it's like a couple bucks a month for what he's writing, and it's really, really good stuff. Matt's one of the smartest people that I've had a chance to work with, and so I enjoy his take on the Grizzlies, and I enjoy him coming on and making the time for the show. So I appreciate that. That'll be in the next conversation. Again, the Grizzlies did talk Chandler Parsons did talk to us today. Grizzlies didn't talk to Chandler Parsons very much. You know, just some quick thoughts on that before we get to Matt. It was interesting, the things that he said. He gave his account on the options that were provided to him. Those options that, according to Chandler, were, and I'm paraphrasing here, was that he could stay at home in Memphis and train on his own and not be around the players, not be around the team, which he immediately said that was not an option for him, because if he's in Memphis, obviously he wants to train with his teammates, which makes sense. The second option for him was to play in the G League at 4 games, and then they would evaluate after that. And he kind of goes on this little bit of not a rant, but says that that's kind of unheard of to kind of ask for that. And it is a little different, you know, to not get some kind of timetable, and he also kind of, I get it, you know, he has bad knees and so he wants to play for real. I mean, I see, like I said before, I see both sides of that argument. And he said the third option was to be in LA and just kind of be away from the team. That's kind of what he chose. He also said that the team is the one that said that they were going to try to trade him. He said that he did not ask for a trade, but they told him they were going to try to find a trade, and that if they couldn't, they'd reconvene after the trade deadline, in which they did. And so he's back with the team. So he also, the other thing I noted was that he said several times that he and the front office don't talk. They teach, he speaks to his agent speaks to the front office, which is not all uncommon. I mean, that's not like super uncommon that players don't have great, have like super great relationships with front offices, especially kind of newer players. But Chandler's been here quite a while, and you would think he had, would have a better relationship with the front office and Chris Wallace and those guys. But apparently he doesn't. I mean, You could tell, you could just tell from the way he's talking about how fractured that relationship is, and just how long past due it is for those, for this two people, the Grizzlies and the, and Chandler Parsons, to kind of separate themselves from each other. But, they're not going to do that anytime soon. So, it was definitely interesting to hear his side of things, from the kind of the way things played out and the options that they gave him. And to be quite honest, I came away from the, you know, his availability to just, somehow it made me feel bad for Chandler. Like, why were the Grizzlies being so mean to him? I just don't know. It was very strange. It was a very strange way to just come about it. Like, I came away just thinking that the Grizzlies did a worse job, and kind of believe in Chandler a little bit more than believing the Grizzlies. I now have, you know, now that he's said his piece on the way things went down, I've heard now two very, very different versions of what has happened and what has transpired. I've heard from the some people on the Grizzly side of things. I've heard from his, obviously, now he said publicly his side of things. So it's some very different versions, obviously, of what happened. There's probably a little bit of truth in both of the versions. But yeah, I came away from that just, you know, kind of almost feeling bad for him that he, you know, he kept saying over and over, he just wants to play, and that's all he's wanted to do for quite some time. So, you know, we go back to the show we did earlier this week when we talked about Chandler, is that, you know, I'd say you just play him, because I think in a few games it will likely be a non-starter topic, because he'll be on the bench with sore knees. And that's just, it's unfortunate. It's not his fault. I've always said that. And it sucks for him, but that's just the reality of the situation. He even said today that health-wise, I mean, his knees are always going to be sore after playing games, and that's just something he's going to have to deal with. And now it's pain management now for him, and not something it's a new thing. It's just how he's going to manage that pain going forward. So maybe he does play. Maybe before, when he had, you know, the sore knees, he thought it would just go away early in the year. And maybe now he realizes that that's just never going to go away. It's just something he's going to live with, you know, for the rest of his career. And it's just something he's going to have to manage. So I don't know. But JB did say he was going to play. JB did say he was going to get minutes. Some other news that came out of that conversation with JB, Jonas Valančiūnas is not with the team for personal reasons. He's in Lithuania with his family, so he will not be available on Friday. He will not play. And then Kyle Anderson had an MRI today. They should probably get the results soon. So hopefully we'll know more about Kyle Anderson sooner rather than later. JB didn't know at the time, but did say that Kyle had an MRI on Thursday. So those are kind of the news and notes and kind of some thoughts from the press availability at practice today. Coming up next after the break, we're going to talk to, again, Matt Hrdlicka. He has a Patreon. Make sure you go read all of his stuff. He's a very smart dude. He's very insightful. So, again, after the break, Matt Hrdlicka. Welcome back to the show. Another great guest, Matt Hrdlicka, been on the show before, has his own Patreon page. It's probably now, I know I gave him shit for this last time, but it's probably linked in his pinned profile and his Twitter handle now. Hopefully it is. If not, we're going to have to do that again. But Matt, what's going on?
Still not linked.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I thought I'd tell you better. But Matt, where can people find your Patreon before we get started?
You can go to the pinned tweet on my Twitter account at the real Hrdlicka, Hrdlicka, at the real Hrdlicka. And it's my pinned tweet. You can also search patreon.com for Matt Hrdlicka. And yeah, I guess I need to remedy that. It's funny because I went on a podcast the day after I went on yours. I went on Harrington's podcast at the Daily Memphian, and I related that anecdote to him and then did nothing about it, not changing you know, anything. So,
That's okay. Anyway. Every time we come on the show, we'll make sure we bring it up. But
yeah, you just got to chip away at the iceberg. Just keep chipping away.
By the end of the season, it'll get linked eventually.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, Matt does great work. If you guys aren't already reading his stuff, make sure you go and do that. But I want to have you on. It's been a little bit. First of all, I want to talk about Chandler Parsons. Obviously, this is the big story as of today. We're recording this on Thursday. He spoke to the media for the first time in a long time. It was definitely different. I mean, he had some things to say as far as what his perspective was, that, you know, he never requested to be traded. They told him that he was going to be traded. He went out of his way to kind of say that he doesn't talk to the front office. So it was very weird. And honestly, I came away feeling more angry at the front office than I did Chandler Parsons. Just goes to show you
how nice of a guy Chandler is and how easy and relatable he is to talk to when he's actually just face-to-face with you. But as far as Chandler is concerned, JB said he's going to play Friday. He's going to get minutes. But is that something that the Grizzlies really should be doing and investing time into someone who, quite frankly, won't even probably be here maybe next year, maybe not even in the offseason?
Wow, Mark, you invite me on and then you answer your own question.
I know.
No, I just, yeah, we were chatting before and it's just really like, I honestly didn't even click on the, on all the video links. Cause it's boring to me. I mean, Chandler, God bless him. He has a lot of money. The Grizzlies paid him a lot of money. Congratulations. It's just uninteresting to me whether he plays or not, because like, you mentioned, did I catch this right? That you said he said that the front office said he was going to be traded. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he told us, that that they told him that either they would trade him or they would revisit it after the trade deadline. So,
okay, well, nobody's going to trade for him. And they didn't seem to be like they were in a position of trying to get bad contracts back. And that's really all you're going to get. The only framework for a Chandler Parsons trade that works is you send out his bad contract, you get a worse one back plus something else. And I don't think that proved to be like something they didn't really want to do, or the deals weren't out there. So I kind of maybe throw some cold water on that part of it. But, you know, like you raise an interesting question. Even if I'm not one of those people that says, oh, well, if he is going to help them, they don't need to be doing that. Like if he can play, sure, like let him play, but don't let him play at the detriment to some other players. Like, I don't know, like Bruno's interesting, but not like, I'm not on fire for him. He actually has been pretty bad, but he's at least young and we have him already signed for next year. So they need to let him play. But you know, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks are both out. So their minutes to be had, I suppose. And sure, if he can play, let him play.
Yeah, I kind of fall where probably – I think we probably fall in the same boat. I'm more of the, you know, just figure out – young players, the Grizzlies obviously have decisions to make on a lot of these young guys going into the offseason. They got a lot of new players. Frankly, the roster looks a lot different than it did before the trade deadline. But any of those players that they got in any of those trades that you find interesting or intriguing in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty I was on one after they announced what the trade was, because I was just like, this is not what they should be doing. You know, I've had some time to think about it, and I've talked to some people who are smarter than me and kind of been talked off the ledge. But, you know, like Jonas is like a good player. You know, like he's not as good as Mark. He's certainly more limited. He's younger, so that's good. So he's interesting, and you know, he's got a player option that he'll pick up next year. So, you know, seeing what he can do, I'm not really one to say like, oh, we have to see if him and Jaren are a good fit next to each other, because he really, like, he's not going to be a part of the next great Grizzlies team. So, you know, like if he plays well and they can get something for him or something like that, but he is interesting.
Right.
And he also is. He also is a guy that's good to root for. Like, I like watching him bang around and stuff. And I'm sure people, if Grizzlies fans haven't watched him before he came to Memphis, like he's a badass. Like he's a big strong dude. Yeah,
yeah. He's super fun to watch. I mean, like the first time I ever talked to him in the locker room, this guy has on a pink shirt with an embroidered JV on his shirt, and an embroidered JV on his pocketed blue jeans, Matt, and then an embroidered JV on his shoes. I mean, how do you not root for somebody like that?
I need to take branding lessons from him, I think.
it was impressive. I was staring at his clothes more than I was actually being able to, like, you know, talk to him. But you don't think JV is a guy that's going to be here long term, though?
It's not that he's not a good player, and it's not that he's not worth extending, because they can extend him if they want. It's just that eventually he's not going to be a part of the next great team unless, like, they draft Zion Williamson next year and they're automatically good again.
Right.
So I'm really looking at him more as a trade asset than a, like, foundational piece. The guy that I'm most interested in is DeLon Wright, and that's mostly because the Grizzlies need a guy who can – handle the ball, even whether they trade Conley or not. Like, they need him, and he can play a little bit on the wing too. He's older. He's actually slightly older than JV, but by like 2 months. so neither player really matches up with Jaren, but I think and then DeLon, you have to make a decision a little bit quicker. Like, he's a restricted free agent this year, so it's interesting to see. Like, I actually think he's going to get more than the mid-level.
Really?
I don't know how much more. Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's good.
Right.
So, and a lot of teams need good guards that are flexible and can guard a couple spots. But then if he doesn't really perform in the next couple months, maybe not. You know, it'll be interesting to see. So DeLon is actually the guy that I'm most interested in watching. Avery Bradley and CJ Miles, not so much, but Avery's played well, although he's led the team in negative plus minus two of the last three games. So we'll see how that keeps going.
You know, Avery Bradley hasn't been good. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm not interested in watching Avery Bradley play. I'm with you. I'm interested in watching DeLon Wright. I was of the mind that I was thinking that it would be somewhere around the mid-level this year for restricted free agent. But the problem with restricted free agency is it only takes one team. You know, it only takes one team to screw it up for everybody. You know, one Brooklyn Nets to come in here and do something stupid to really screw it up for everybody. So, I think DeLon Wright's the most promising piece. I think Valanciunas will take his player option. I think CJ Miles will take his player option. Do you think they try to trade Avery Bradley in the summer as soon as they can?
Well, here's the thing. So he has 12.5 million, but only 2 million is guaranteed for next year.
Right.
But to take advantage of that, they have to trade him in between when their last game is played. They have to trade him under this CBA year. So they they have to trade him after their last game is played, but before the start of the next, like July 1st or whatever.
Right.
And they're operating under this year's cap. So they still are under the situation where they can't send out more, they can't take back more money than they send out. So any player they trade him for will have to make less, pretty much. and then that team can waive Avery Bradley and take his 12.5 and turn it into 2, and that's fine. Those trades are really rare. So even though that's kind of like a marginal benefit, because I think the last one, like Chris Paul, when he was traded, under the prior year CBA, I believe. The one before that would have been like the Nick Batum trade, where he went from Portland to Charlotte. That one was under a previous CBA. They don't really happen that. There's not even, I don't think, one a year at that time of year. So it's kind of like maybe it happens, but probably it doesn't. And then I think they probably cut him because he's not worth $12.5 million. So.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
I think you're probably right. And like you said, it's difficult because you can't do any kind of 2-for-1 deals. You still have to worry about the luxury tax there. There's a lot of things that it's not like you kind of start over and you can fix it down the road. Well, because that is down the road. That is the last chance you can kind of fix whatever luxury tax issues that you have. And the Grizzlies always usually try to fix that, you know, down the road. But like you said, that is as it. So I think they'll probably try to find something, but I think I'm with you. I think they'll probably fail and just cut him. Because like you said, he's not worth $12 million. Obviously CJ will probably take his player option. I don't know why he wouldn't. Do you think keeping Mike Conley post trade deadline was the best move for those for them?
I think that my threshold for Trayton Conley has always been, I want one premium asset back, not like a great player, but I want a lottery pick or something that's probably a lottery pick, or I want like multiple picks of which one is a future pick that could be a lottery pick, maybe unprotected, or I want like a guaranteed starter, like on his rookie deal. So like Miles Bridges would be like the type of guy I'd want, or I'm trying to think of some others that like the Utah deal, if they were willing to throw in 2 picks, one of which was like 2021 or 2022, you know, that pick is far enough out where even though Utah's good, like I can talk myself into thinking that plus other stuff is worth trading Mike Conley for. So absent that, I'm glad he's on the team because they can use a point guard. Jaren can't bring the ball up the court. Like somebody has to pass to him. And absent that, you know, now that they have DeLon Wright, it's a little bit better, but even DeLon is like not starter quality, has not shown he's starter quality yet. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's starter on a bad team type thing. Even though I like him as a player, I don't love him, but I like him. So, right. Yeah, no, I'm happy that they didn't trade Conley. And because the thing is, like, if they were going to get a late first and like expiring deals, that deal is going to be there in the summer. It's just right. Like the logic with the AD trade, like anybody that wants him can still get him for like, Utah's not going to pony up a first round pick, you know, like,
right.
That's going to happen. So that's where I stand.
And the last question, and I'll get you out of here. Do you think Mike will be on this roster in training camp next year?
Ooh. Oh, man, I don't know. I would say no. I would say no, but the summer is going to be so wild, and it could hinge on something as simple as if enough star players to move. Like, consider this for 1 second. Like, Boston has Kyrie. If Boston right. keeps Kyrie, they stay over the cap. But if Kyrie moves, he goes to a team that's under the cap, meaning that $30 million is taken out of the economy, like the pool of money of cap right. space, and given to Kyrie. And it could be just something as simple as that, like one more free agent moving that takes money out of there. Like if Tobias Harris moves to a team that has cap space, like, you know, as soon as those slots get taken up. But if all those players stay at teams that are over the cap, then there's been a lot of teams that struck out. So, you know, like there's like not a non-zero chance that Utah decides that they want to spend a ton of money on Nico Mirotic instead of Conley. And
right.
I mean, like if they can't get something really good for him, there's no reason to trade him. He's still good. And then I would let it ride to the deadline. Like, I have no problem with it. I don't think it would be a failure if he was on the team, because in that case, instead of getting like expirings in a pick or something, you're taking on bad money at that point. And that's fine. Like, I would take on a worse contract if I'm trading Mike Conley and getting better stuff coming back, you know? And I think that those deals will be out there, but it just really depends on where all these stars land and which mid-market teams strike out, like the Indianas and Utahs. And I mean, if Charlotte wants to stay competitive and they lose Kemba, if Kemba goes to New York, like, hi, we have Mike Conley. We can trade up Bismack Biyombo right. and some of these, like, let's play footsie again, that type of thing.
So, yeah.
You know, I think it's tough. I wouldn't even know, like, I would guess yes, but I mean, I would guess that he is not on the team at training camp, but it really is out of the Grizzlies' hands, I think.
That's an interesting way to think about it. I don't think I've thought about it quite like that, as far as just with the way the money's going to move around in the summer, to be able to dictate kind of just the suitors that the Grizzlies have for Mike Conley. So that's an interesting take, and I appreciate that, because I don't think I've even thought about that, you know, thought about it in that context just quite yet. So again, anyway, Matt Herdlicka, I appreciate you coming on, man. People go read your stuff on Patreon. It's really good stuff. I appreciate it, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Sounds good, Mark. Take care.
All right. Bye. Thanks again to Matt for joining me on the show today. I appreciate him taking the time to talk with me about the Grizzlies. It was a really good conversation, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, if you're not already following the show, follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Grizz. Follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Again, if you have a moment, please go rate and review the show in iTunes. It really helps. If you're not an Apple person, you can find the show in Stitcher, Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts. The show is there. If you're still unsure about where to get your show, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.